Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The Ten Commandments, a universal symbol of law and morality, can clearly be displayed in courthouses, schools, and on other government property. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
You know, we have a recent case in Louisiana. It was the first state to pass a law that requires public school classrooms to post the Ten Commandments beginning in January 2025. And of course, a federal judge has blocked that, and now we have an appeals court that came back and said, wait, while litigation, other schools can post it, just not the ones currently in litigation.
Yeah, this judge issued a 177-page ruling to block the schools in question, which is only a handful of schools.
But why would you not want the Ten Commandments in a classroom? I don't get that.
Well, you know, the 1980 Supreme Court case of Stone versus Graham, which really should have very little, if any, precedential value at this stage, actually said that if the Ten Commandments were actually viewed by the students, they might follow them, venerate them, and be induced to do what they say, which means, to do what they say. Oh, my goodness. You mean you should honor your father and your mother? You shouldn't kill. You shouldn't steal. You shouldn't lie. You shouldn't covet.
You shouldn't worship idols. You should not worship other gods. Keep the Sabbath day holy.
Yeah. So that's what they said in 1980. That particular case, by the way, comes out of Kentucky. And what people don't realize about that case is it struck down the Ten Commandments that Kentucky had a law to post it on the walls of the classrooms, just like Louisiana has recently done. And the case went as a petition for cert at the petition stage, where you're asking the court to take the case. Most cases are denied at that level. This is not briefing on the merits. At the petition stage, you're not briefing on the merits. There's no oral argument. You present your brief as to reasons why the court should take the case. But the argument regarding the defense of or against that particular issue is saved for later if the court takes the case. Well, at that petition stage, that's where the court decided that it is summarily going to strike down the Ten Commandments with no briefing on the merits and no oral argument. It was clearly an activist court. Remember, we talked about the 70s court?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is 1980, so it's the same court. The 70s court gave us Lemon versus Kurtzman, 1971.
Roe v. Wade,
1973. It gave us Transworld Airlines versus Hardison, 1977, which weakened the protection of religion in Title VII.
Lemon versus Kurtzman.
It gave us 1978 also with the affirmative action in schools. So all those.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have 1980 with this very activist court, no briefing, no oral argument. That case really doesn't have any precedent anymore because, for several reasons, the U.S. Supreme Court in 2022 overturned the 1971 Lemon versus Kurtzman decision that had been used mm-hmm. by judges to strike down religious displays, and that included the Ten Commandments in some cases. That's gone. That's gone because of our case, Shurtleff versus City of Boston, followed by the Coach Kennedy case, back-to-back cases, both of which rejected the Lemon test and overruled Lemon and said that we should return to the traditional First Amendment standard where courts must interpret the Establishment Clause, quote, by reference to historical practices and understandings, close quote.
You know, that's a no-brainer, Matt. I mean, what would you rather have your children learn in public school? The Ten Commandments and all the qualities that go with that, or the LGBT agenda, teaching them how to be sexually promiscuous, what pronoun they want to be, and all that other nonsense that's being pushed at them right now? Which would you prefer?
I think I would prefer the Ten Commandments.
Me too.
Of course. You know, in fact, the Ten Commandments, they are ubiquitous, meaning that they're everywhere, and they're everywhere for a reason. In the Supreme Court room alone, There are 50 displays inside and outside mm-hmm. of the United States Supreme Court. Most common symbol is the Ten Commandments. We have a booklet, The Ten Commandments in American Law and Government, you can order by going to lc.org and going to our store. And we catalog all 10 of the Ten Commandments, how all 10 of them, yes, all 10, have been adopted multiple times into American law and statutes and cited by court decisions. And we also talk about what I just said about the United States Supreme Court. The seal of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals over in San Francisco has inside the seal the Ten Commandments because it's a symbol of the rule of law. If you look at the New England Primer, the New England Primer was the second most popular and influential book in American education after the Bible through the 1900s, and it contains the Ten Commandments. It is something that was taught. It was obviously known throughout history. And Louisiana, after Lemon versus Kurtzman is overruled in 2022, they said, we're going to require that this be posted back in the schools. And this judge blocked it. Now, however, the injunction is going to be very narrow because as of January 1, when this law goes into effect, most of the public schools in Louisiana will now be required by state law to post the Ten Commandments. There's only a small number of schools that are part of this particular lawsuit. In other words, the injunction does not stop mm-hmm. all of the schools, only a couple of schools in this particular lawsuit. But the rest of the state of Louisiana, which is good news, will be able to be free to post these while the case is still ongoing.
And, you know, I think this is just one step in a positive turn of the tide in order to make the public schools a true place of learning now. I mean, you have this happening. You have Bibles now going into Oklahoma public schools, a Pledge of Allegiance, the Declaration. That's where your true history is found in those books, not the other propaganda that they're being served right now.
And Louisiana officials are rightfully defended the Ten Commandments law as constitutionally valid by arguing that it has historical and educational purpose. They cite the Decalogue's historical role in developing American law and education, which displayed alongside other historical documents, would be permissible under the First Amendment. This particular statute also requires the public school classrooms to display the Mayflower Compact, the Declaration of Independence, and the Northwest Ordinance. The state's legal team, you know, argued that this law's intent is not to endorse religion, but to teach our children America's longstanding moral values and civic life.
Amen.
And how they originate in these laws. So this is a historical display. The Ten Commandments really can't be moved from that kind of display because it would be missing something. The Ten Commandments is so profound in its shaping of American law and government, it's hard to even conceptualize this on a short program like this. As we started to defend Ten Commandments cases in Kentucky, and then I argued a Ten Commandments case before the United States Supreme Court in 2005, we were amazed at our own research of what we found in the statutes and in the case law about the centrality of the Ten Commandments. And it's not just the commandments about not stealing, not committing murder, not lying or not coveting. It's others as well. All of the Ten Commandments, all 10 of the Ten Commandments have been incorporated multiple times into statutes and have been cited by courts down through the ages up until recent times.
That's why God gave them to Moses to give to the people. This is forever.
Well, and in fact, this is just on a popular standpoint. If you go to like one of the research locations, like maybe a Google research or something of that nature, and you type in the Ten Commandments of, and you leave that blank, kind of like a
kind of
ellipsis,
a popular way to put things, yeah.
What you come up with is tens of thousands of articles. The Ten Commandments of gardening, the Ten Commandments of motorcycle mechanics, the Ten Commandments of building a better house or heating your house. And why is that? Because the Ten Commandments have become not only influential in our life, but it's a shorthand, a symbol of the rule of law.
Right.
And these are the rules. If you want to build a better home or build a better garage. These are the 10 commandments to do so. These are the 10 clear points that you need to follow.
And build a better society and country.
Yeah, and so what better place would the 10 commandments be than in our public venues? And they're all over the United States. We have defended many. We have never lost a 10 commandments case since 2005. But also in our public school classrooms. What a better place to begin that education than with our future leaders.
Absolutely. And I think so many children don't know those right now.
Absolutely. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.